This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, the lecture is entitled The Best Days of the Year. Now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred, has favored certain places, certain actions, certain times, and certain people over others. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst the actions, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves prayer on time. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the best of actions? He said prayer on time. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves fasting. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves it when a person gives sadaqah, charity. So there are certain actions that are more virtuous, more meritorious than others, given maybe the timings. There are certain times of the year that are preferred over others, or that are seasons or times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred. So for example, the month of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, the weekly Jumu'ah, every Friday, 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every lunar month, known as the white days, recommended to fast in. Likewise, there are four sacred months. They are the months of Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram. They come after each other. Dhul Hijjah is the last month of the Islamic lunar calendar. Then comes Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar. And the fourth sacred month is the month of Rajab. So there are certain times that are preferred over others. Certain places, such as Mecca, such as Medina, such as Al-Quds, Jerusalem. There are certain people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred over others, such as the prophets and the messengers from amongst the humans. And from amongst the prophets and messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He preferred Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. They are the five prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred over the other prophets, or favored over the other prophets, being prophets Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa arda, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them, are from amongst the best of people. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the best of scriptures, the Qur'an, the seal of His scriptures, the Qur'an, He revealed it during the best of nights, which is Laylatul Qadr, in the best of months, the month of Ramadan. He revealed it through the best of angels, the angel Jibril, Gabriel. He revealed it in the best of cities, the city of Mecca, to the best of mankind, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has favored certain individuals. So for example, He has also favored Jibril, Gabriel, from amongst all of the angels. So alhamdulillah, what is also beautiful about our deen, what is beautiful about Islam, is that there is an array of acts of worship. There are many ways of drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this eliminates boredom. This eliminates monotony. So there's fard actions, of course, that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot draw nearer to Allah with anything more beloved to Him than the fard, than the wajib, than that which is obligatory and compulsory. Then of course you draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the sunnah actions. So alhamdulillah, for the deen of Islam, for the comprehensiveness of the deen of Islam, the practicality of Islam, that we even get to travel, such as Hajj, such as Umrah, meeting people from all walks of life, and remembering that we are all equal, that there is no difference between an Arab and a non-Arab, or a black or a white person. Doesn't matter what language you speak. This is the deen of Islam. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what's in our hearts, and our levels of taqwa, and our levels of devotion. Now, when it comes to the rituals of Islam, when it comes to the rites of Islam, the symbols of Islam, the icons of Islam, the more you and I venerate them, the more we revere them, the more we take them seriously, then this is showing our level of taqwa. If you want to know your level of taqwa, and how strong is your taqwa, how strong is your reverence of Allah, then you need to ask yourself, how do you treat these special moments? How are you towards these special times, these special places? Do you honor them? Or are they something you pay no consideration towards? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That is so, and whoever honors the symbols of Allah, شَعَائِرُ اللَّهِ, the symbols of Allah, indeed it is from the piety of the hearts. So the month of Dhul Hijjah is one of Allah's favored months, one of the sacred months of the 12 months of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to cause or to wrong ourselves during the sacred months. And He said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves during them. Now, the best days of the year are the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. The first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. And then the hadith that is found in Sahih Al-Jami' Al-Saghir, Hadith Jabir radiyallahu anhu wa arda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. He said, the best days of the year are the 10 days, meaning the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And in the hadith that is found in the books of Sunan, Sunan Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشر. He said that there are no days in which righteous deeds, good deeds, virtuous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these days, meaning these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In another narration he said, more precious and more greater in reward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. So when the Sahaba, they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this, they gave it some thought and said, what about jihad? We know that jihad is somebody who gives up their life, their wealth, their family. They go and fight for the cause of Allah, putting their lives at risk. So they said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Not even jihad. Not even jihad is more rewarding. Doing jihad, isn't that more rewarding than doing actions in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even jihad in the cause of Allah. إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ فَلَمْ يَرْجَعْ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. But he gave an exception. Not even jihad. Except for a person, a mujahid, who sets out with his wealth and with his self, and he comes back with nothing. Meaning what? Meaning he dies. He is martyred. He is a shaheed. So, as we learn from this hadith is encouraging us, inspiring us, motivating us to work hard, to pull up our socks, to roll up our sleeves. We find that as-salafus salih, the pious predecessors, would exhaust themselves with acts of worship during these blessed days, because they internalized, digested the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the virtues of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Now the ulama have differed. What is more virtuous? The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah or the last 10 days of Ramadan? And so to consolidate between the two 10 days and the virtues of each, they said the most virtuous nights in the year are the last 10 nights of Ramadan, because they contain Laylatul Qadr, a night whereby the act of worships done during this night equate to 1,000 months of worship, 83 years and 4 months of worship. But the greatest days of the year are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, that include the day of Arafah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th chapter of the Qur'an, He made an oath by these 10 nights. Allah said, وَالْفَجْرِ, by the Fajr, by the Fajr time, a very special time, a time that is witnessed by the angels. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. That the Qur'an, that the recitation of Fajr in your Fajr prayer is witnessed by the angels. So this is a very special time. Muslims must not be heedless and must not be complacent when it comes to performing their salah on time. Salah, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, is the backbone of this deen. It is like the head to the rest of the body. We must not be complacent, heedless and neglectful regarding our salah. Subhanallah, when we read the Qur'an, in the Qur'an we read about three valleys that are in the hellfire. One of those valleys is for those who delay their prayer, and that is known as the valley of wail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Said, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Wail is a valley in the hellfire for those who pray, but they are those who delay their prayers, praying the prayer beyond its prescribed time. There is another valley in the hellfire for those who have abandoned their prayer, neglected their prayer. It's called ghay. غَيْ Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا This is for those who أضاعوا الصلاة, they abandoned the salah. They followed their desire. They followed their desires. وَأَتْبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ What will they find? غَيْ Ghay is another valley in the hellfire. There is a third valley in the hellfire. And that is called Saqar. Saqar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Muddathir, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي Saqar. What has caused you to enter into Saqar? They will be asked. What has caused you to enter into Saqar, meaning a valley in the hellfire, called Saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ They will say, قَالُوا We were not from amongst those who used to pray. They neglected their prayer, abandoned their prayer. So my dear brothers, and my dear sisters in Islam, الصَّلَاةُ الصَّلَاةُ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ Salah, salah, and what your right hand possesses. These were the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us avoid these three valleys in the hellfire by ensuring that we pray, and that we pray on time, and that we pray in the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to pray. He said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي Pray as you have seen me praying. My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, وَالْفَجْرِ Going back to the verse, Allah makes an oath by the Fajr. And then He says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ And by the 10 nights. And these are the 10 nights and days of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَالشَّفَعِ الشَّفَعِ is the even number. Referring to the even prayers of the day and night. So it's referring to what? Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. Because they are all even in number. وَالْوَتْرِ وَالْوَتْرِ is the Maghrib prayer. Because the Maghrib prayer is an odd number of units. An odd number of rak'at. Now, when we look at Surah Al-Fajr, we will see that there is a relationship between the beginning of Surah Al-Fajr and the concluding verses from Surah Al-Fajr. And often, as the commentators of the Qur'an, the Mufassirun have said, there are relationships between the beginning and the ends of a surah. There's a relationship between the ends of a surah and the beginning of the next surah. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing us to Al-Fajr and the 10 nights and the 5 daily prayers. Observe these. Devote yourself to active worship and take them seriously. Now let's look at the end of the surah. Let's look at the end of Surah Al-Fajr. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. Now He addresses an-nafsul mutma'inna. He addresses an-nafs, the soul that is reassured, that is content. This is the soul of the one who has died. It will be said to it, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية Return to your Lord, well pleased and pleasing to Him. He will be very happy. فادخلي في عبادي And enter among my righteous servants. وادخلي جنتي And enter my Jannah and enter my garden. Enter my paradise. This is what will be said to the soul that did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to do. And so, My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, we need to do something today. We need to make the most out of these blessed 10 days so that our future soul will say thank you. Yes, our future soul will say thank you for having prayed Fajr on time. Thank you for having devoted yourself to the various acts of worship during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Thank you for praying the 5 prayers. Thank you for having fasted Ramadan. Thank you for having performed Hajj. Thank you for having worn the hijab. So these are known days, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and mention the name of Allah on known days. When Allah spoke about the days of Ramadan, He said, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. He said, they are days that are ma'dudat, counted, or in other words, limited. So they are only for a limited time only. These 10 days are known as the known days. الأيام المعلومات, as per Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 2 from the Quran, verse 28. My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, the actions that you do during these blessed 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are not like the actions that you do in any of the days of the year. Any other days of the year, they cannot be compared. There is no comparison to the actions that you do before the 10 days commence and after the 10 days come to an end. Very meritorious, very virtuous. We must not turn these 10 days into a missed opportunity. And so Ibn Hajar, who is the commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, these 10 days include the mothers of acts of worship. Because during these 10 days, there is salah, there is remembrance of Allah, there is fasting, there is hajj, there is articulating the shahada. So these are the mothers of the acts of worship. So how can we make the most out of these blessed days? What are some of the actions that we can do, inshallah ta'ala, to make the most out of these days? Number one, the most virtuous act of worship that you can do is to perform Hajj. It's to perform Hajj. Hajj is one of the 5 pillars of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam is built upon 5 foundations or 5 pillars. Shahada, iqamu salah, praying 5 times a day. Zakah, giving money to the poor and to the needy and to those recipients of zakat that we find in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 60. Those 8 recipients, fasting the month of Ramadan, and Hajj. They are the 5 pillars of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. He said, and due to Allah from the people is pilgrimage to the house for whereever is able to find thereto a way. So if you have the means, then it becomes obligatory upon you to perform Hajj. Hajj is one of the best deeds. And often the Sahaba would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would ask him, what is the best of deeds? And once when he was asked this question, he said, to have faith in Allah and His Messenger. To have the proper belief. And then the questioner said, what next? He said, to strive in the cause of Allah. What next? He said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor. Or Hajj Mabroor. Hajj Mabroor means a faultless Hajj. A Hajj that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby you have fulfilled the pillars of Hajj, fulfilled the conditions of Hajj. This is known as Hajj Mabroor. In the case of women, Hajj is a form of jihad. Hajj is a form of jihad. In the hadith found in Bukhari, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, reported, she said, Ya Rasulullah, we consider jihad as the best deed. Should we not then go for jihad? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best jihad for you women is Hajj Mabrur. This is the best form of jihad. Now of course, a woman must travel with a mahram, a chaperone, such as her father, her grandfather, her son, her brother, her uncle. She must have a mahram. Now, also what we know about Hajj is that it detoxifies your sins. It obliterates your sins, wipes away your sins. And in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a kayawmi waladathu ummuh. Whoever performs Hajj and does not have intimate relations with their spouse during the Hajj, nor commit sins, nor disputes unjustly during the Hajj, then he returns from Hajj as pure and free from sin as on the day on which his mother gave birth to him. You know that in Islam, when you are born without sins. So alhamdulillah, just as Islam, when you enter Islam, when you become a new Muslim, convert, revert, when you become a new Muslim, your sins of the past will be wiped away. When you perform hijrah, when you migrate from a city of disbelief to a city of belief, or a city of corruption to a city whereby you are able to practice and implement your Islam, this is called hijrah. By doing so with that intention to become a better Muslim, to become a better person, a reformed person, your past sins are forgiven. And likewise, when you perform Hajj, your sins are forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also indicated that al-hajj al-mabrur laysa lahu jazaa illa al-jannah. That the Hajj mabrur, that the faultless Hajj has no reward, or has the reward is nothing short of Jannah, nothing short of paradise. And it also removes poverty. It removes poverty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, alternate between Hajj and Umrah. Alternate between Hajj and Umrah, because both rid one of poverty and sins, just as the blacksmith's bellows remove all impurities from metals like iron and gold and silver. And then he concluded by saying that the reward for Hajj Mabrur is nothing short of paradise. Now it's very unfortunate, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, that many Muslims, they delay Hajj, they procrastinate. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, hurry. He said, hurry or hasten to perform Hajj, for you don't know what might happen to you. You don't know if you are going to become sick, if you are going to become disabled, if you are not going to be able to make it because of financial constraints in the future. So one should not delay Hajj. Wallahi, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, I met individuals who were going through some financial difficulty, but they had enough money to make it to Hajj. And they attended the Hajj. And when they came back from Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he opened up for them many opportunities and many doors. So this is the positive effects of Hajj. And we must take advantage of the time that we have now. Take advantage of your good health. Take advantage of your youthfulness. Take advantage of the wealth that you have. Take advantage of the spare time that you have. Take advantage of your life before your death. And let's not procrastinate Hajj. Now, so from amongst the actions, as I said earlier, that we should be, that or the best of actions that you can perform during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is to perform Hajj. But not everybody can afford Hajj. Not everybody has the means to attend Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He compensates. He gives us a way to be able to compensate for not being able to perform Hajj. He gives us these 10 days. And one of the best actions that you can do during these 10 days is to fast. And there is difference of opinion about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having fasted these 9 days or not. But at the very least, it's permissible to fast the 9 days. Because it's not allowed, it's haram to fast on the 10th day, which is the day of Eid. So a Muslim can fast all 9 days, or can choose to fast some of these days, but at the very least, a Muslim should strive to fast the day of Arafah. To fast the day of Arafah. Now, before I continue to talk about the fasting itself, what is the day of Arafah? The day of Arafah is known as the best day of the year. It is the best day of the year. It is the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, the day before Eid, Eid al-Adha. Now, on this day, this is the day that the pilgrims must ensure that they are in an area close to Mecca that is known as Arafah. Because there is Mecca, there is Mina, there is Muzdalifah, there is Arafah. These are the main areas where the rituals of Hajj are performed. As for Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Meaning that Arafah is one of the pillars of Hajj. And whoever misses Arafah must come back the following year or another time and perform their Hajj again. That is how important it is to be at Arafah. Now, with regards to Arafah, there is an incident whereby a Jew came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu wa arda during his khilafah. And he said to him, and we read this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, there is an ayah, there is a verse in the Quran, in which had it been revealed to us Jews, we would have taken this day as a day of Eid. He said, which ayah are you referring to? He said, I am referring to the ayah, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This is the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen Islam for you as your religion. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 3. So Umar said, radiallahu anhu wa arda, we know which day and in which place that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was revealed on a Friday. In other words, this is our weekly Eid. On a Friday, and it was revealed on the day of Arafah. Now on the day of Arafah, it is a day of forgiveness of sins. And that's why the pilgrims are raising their hands in supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no day on which Allah frees more people from the fire than the day of Arafah. He comes close and expresses his pride to the angels. So this is a day that many people are liberated, are freed, are redeemed from Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. Now, going back to the fasting on this day and the virtue of fasting on this day, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu wa arda relates, as we read in Sahih Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah, and his response was, it expiates or it wipes away the sins of the previous year and the coming year. In other words, 2 years, 2 lunar years. In 2 lunar years, there are 710 days. 710 days. So, if you fast one day, the day of Arafah, the day before Eid, Eid al-Adha. By fasting this one day, in other words, fasting some 15 hours, you will have the sins of 710 days wiped away. That is 17,040 hours of sins. Allahu Akbar. 17,040 days by fasting only some 15 hours for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts one day fi sabilillah, man sama yawman fi sabilillah, ba'ad Allahu baynahu wa bayna jahannam 70 kharifa. Or kama qala alayhi sallatu wassalam, that whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah, he will distance his face, or he will distance this person from Jahannam, from the hellfire, the distance of 70 years. Alhamdulillah for this opportunity. One of the best things that you can say during the day of Arafah and throughout these days is the phrase, La ilaha illallah, وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أفضل ما قلته أنا والنبيون من قبل لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The best of supplications is the supplication on the day of Arafah, and the best of which I and the prophets before me have said, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku, walahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. We also know that whoever says this 10 times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith found in Bukhari, he said, whoever says this 10 times, he will have the reward of having freed as if he has paid to free 4 slaves from amongst the slaves of Banu Israel. And so during these days, we need to moisten our tongues with various words of remembrance that will impact our heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَشْرِ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. He said, there are no days greater in the sight of Allah and in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Him than these 10 days. So during this time, recite a great deal of tahleel. Say lots of La ilaha illallah. Say lots of takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And lots of tahmeed, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. This is what we should be doing during these 10 days. And also, what is also important to do during these virtuous moments is lots of istighfar. Lots of saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, istighfar is particularly important during virtuous seasons when doors of repentance are open and when things are becoming challenging for you. So whenever there are seasons and times that are very virtuous, it's important to say lots of istighfar. And when things become difficult for you, when things become challenging, then say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Because often it is our sins that are robbing us of many blessings. It is our sins that act as barriers. And so that's why we need to have taqwa Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can amaze us with His blessings and with His bounties. From amongst the most virtuous acts that you can do during these blessed days is to intend and to offer a sacrificial animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is known amongst the Muslim community as Qurban or Udhiyah. Qurban or Udhiyah. And the reason why it is called Qurban is the word Qurban comes from Qarib. Because when you offer a sacrificial animal that is going to be sacrificed and the meat distributed amongst others, amongst the poor, amongst the needy, and amongst your family members and your friends, then you are drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are becoming qareeb from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's called qurban. So there is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama between those who say, the body of opinion that states that it is only sunnah mu'akkada. It's a stressed upon sunnah. And this is the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala. And it is also the opinion of Imam Malik. And the evidence that is cited by this body of opinion is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu wa arda, whereby he said, I prayed on Eid al-Adha with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he finished the prayer, he was brought two rams and he sacrificed them, and he said, in the name of Allah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, this is on behalf of myself and any member of my ummah or my nation who did not offer a sacrifice. And this hadith is found in Sunan Abi Dawood. So even if you don't have the means to sacrifice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already made a sacrifice on your behalf. Now, the second body of opinion is that it is wajib. And this is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, and it is the opinion that is favored by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kawthar makes a command, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, that turn in prayer to your Lord and sacrifice. They said that in this verse Allah makes a command, and a command implies that something is obligatory. They also stated the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some ulama have actually deemed this hadith as being da'if, as being weak. The hadith, whoever can afford to offer a sacrifice but does not do so, let him not approach our place of prayer. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala, he combined between the hadiths and between the ayah, and he said each point of view has its evidence, but to be on the safe side, the one who is able to offer a sacrifice should not neglect to do so because of what is involved in this act of reverence towards Allah, remembering Him and making sure that one has nothing to be blamed for. Now, there is a sunnah that has been abandoned or neglected or that is unknown to many Muslims. And that is, whoever is intending to offer a sacrificial animal, whoever is intending to pay towards the sacrifice of an animal, should refrain from clipping their nails, whether it's their fingernails or their toenails, and removing any bodily hair or shortening of the hair. This is based on the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when you see the new moon of Dhul-Hijjah, if any one of you wants to offer a sacrifice, then he should stop cutting his hair and nails until he has offered his sacrifice. Now, we learn a number of things regarding this. First of all, this applies only to the head of the household who is making the payment. So whoever is making the payment, he is the one that must refrain from the nail clipping and the hair removal. And this does not apply to the dependents. So it doesn't apply to the wife or to the children, unless those individuals are actually making a sacrifice. If those individuals are actually paying, then they should also refrain. Also, the time commences from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, from the Hilal of Dhul-Hijjah, the crescent of Dhul-Hijjah. Let's say, for example, however, a person, Dhul-Hijjah entered, And then he didn't intend to make a sacrifice until 5 days later. But he had already shortened his hair or clipped his nails. Is he still allowed to offer a sacrificial animal? And the answer is yes. He can still sacrifice even though he has clipped his nails or removed his bodily hair. But he should refrain now from clipping the nails and from shortening the hair until the animal has been sacrificed. And the day of sacrificing could be any one of the 4 days which are known as Ayyam al-Tashriq. They are the days of Eid, the first day of Eid, and the subsequent days, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th day of Eid. And it is sunnah on those days to say lots of takbir, like the takbirat of Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Or Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. These are the takbiratul Eid. So, the sunnah applies that one must refrain from removing any bodily hair or clipping their nails right through until the animal has been sacrificed. So you need to find out if you are having an Islamic organization or a third party slaughter on your behalf, ask them, what time are you slaughtering? What day are you slaughtering? Because then you would have gone against the sunnah if they were slaughtering, for example, on the second day of Eid, and you then, you know, you trim your moustache or you clip your nails on the day of Eid. Or if, for example, they are slaughtering in the afternoon and then you clip your nails in the morning or remove the hair in the morning. So this is something to make a note of with regards to the hair removal and to the nails. Now, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, these are very virtuous days, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward you immensely for your good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all strength. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless these days for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the energy and to bless us and to grant us the devotion and to grant us everything that will help us to worship Him in the manner in which He loves during these 10 days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our virtuous deeds, amaze us with His blessings and His bounties in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.